I want to talk to you about fully satisfied this morning, and we're still talking about longevity and fully satisfied. And I'm going to go to a couple of scriptures. I think, let's see here, enjoying a full, long and satisfying life. And let's go to two scriptures again, Psalm 91:16 and then Proverbs chapter 3, verse 2. I'm reading the King James Version, Psalm 91:16. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Let's pick it up from verse 14, if you can. Let's go ahead and read that together, put it up here. Psalm 91, verse 14, and we go up to the 16. He says, because he had set his love upon me, the Bible says. Therefore, will I deliver him, and I will set him on high because he had known my name. The next verse says, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I'll be with him in trouble. Does anybody have any troubles this morning? Huh? Is God with you?
Amen.
He said, I'll be with you in trouble.
Amen.
He says, I will deliver him. If you need deliverance, you know, you don't. You know, let me just tell you something. You know, I see people, ministers, maybe some churches, I don't know. I haven't been to every church. I don't know very ministers. But I see people from time to time hold meetings in our city. They preach to people like they're little babies still. And there's a lot of people that are Christians. They don't have a home church. And so they don't have a good pastor to raise them up to be strong and help them to be spiritually independent a little bit, so that they can believe in their own prayers and they can believe in their own health. If you're a Christian and you believe the Bible and you believe you've got a really solid foundation of teaching, you don't ever have to pray for healing. You can, but you don't have to, because you can just believe God, what he said. Healing belongs to all of us.
Amen.
And it's not a matter of praying. It's a matter of grasping and accepting what God says. Himself took our infirmities, or sicknesses, and you don't have to have anybody lay hands on you. You can, but you don't have to. And divine health belongs to all of us. Healing belongs to all of us. Health belongs to us. So every one of us should realize that these things belong to you and me because we belong in the family of God. And they're part of our inheritance. There's a lot of things in the Bible that people pray about and ask God for when it's already theirs. And we just can say, it belongs to me. Thank you, Father, for this. I receive it by faith. I believe it. Amen?
Amen?
And so you can claim protection and say, God, thank you for protecting me as I travel down the road on Highway 1117 from every snowplow and every truck. Amen?
Amen.
And every you know, we would drive down the road for 5.5 years. Pastor Ken and I, we planted a church over here. And by the way, if you've ever been in Geraldton, go to the Faith City Church, Geraldton. There's a good church there. And it's growing. And we just recently paid off the building there. I was thinking in the last 10 years, 11 years, we paid off, the church over here, the Secord Street. And we paid the one over here. And then next year, this time, we'll have this paid off.
Woo-hoo!
Completely paid off.
All right.
Amen. Praise God. God's good.
Amen.
His mercy endures forever. So we thank God for provision. And we have a television ministry that's growing. I mean, we're going to grow as far as God wants us to. We're not going to push it. But if God wants us to do something, we'll go into other areas. And so, when we did the television in 2008, and we started TV, we had to change all the equipment. And analog, that's the word, analog, put that in your vocabulary, analog, into digital, and everything's digital today. In fact, I look at you, you look digital, so everything is digital. It's easier to work with that, you know, so we thank God for that. And so the man says, Pastor Roman, we're going to give you $300,000 worth of equipment for television to get you started. So when we got here, it was zero. So CKPR tells us, Roma, we can't use this anymore. You have to change all your equipment. Like a camera like that would cost $25,000. You know, it's half of that now, but, you know, back then you lose one camera. That's a lot of money. So anyway, what I'm trying to get to you is this. The point is that God supplies. And so we started, I lost, when it was transferred over to me from Brother Ross, and he had so many thousands of dollars rolling in. He'd been at it for 20 years. I just started 2 weeks. And my account from all my partners across Canada come down to $4,000 a month. Well, you can't run a television ministry for $4,000 a month. And so we went into panic mode. But the Lord is gracious, you know. So we started to do ministry, and so we started having bannock sales. Now, different things, you know. We started doing banquets, and so we had a board meeting. We said, "Listen, you know, I felt that with my board there, with the Spirit Life board, I said, you know, this is not what God wants us to do, but we'll go ahead." He says, "Okay, do it, but this is not God's best for us. He doesn't want us to do all these, what do you call these things? We went to the banquets and fundraisers. Everybody say fundraisers. Fundraisers. It's okay for fundraisers, okay, but it's not God's best. If God's going to do something, he's going to provide it. Amen. Where there's a vision, there's provision." And so the Lord spoke to me after a few years of being knocked around a little bit. The Lord said to me, all your funding, all your money is going to come from your partners. And so we reluctantly gave up doing those for a little bit. And so finally one day, I went to my team, our actual team here at this office. They were doing a lot of the work, carrying the load. They said, the Lord spoke to me, and he said to, don't do any more fundraisers like you've been doing, and your money will come from all your partners. And while that was kind of scary, when you're going from one thing to another thing, you're depending on one area of resource, and then you go to another area. And so we did it, and the Lord blessed us immensely, praise God. Amen? And he's provided for it. In fact, opening up new doors of opportunity, and the money is there. So we thank God for that. Amen? The reason why I said that is that he'll be with you in trouble. You know, he'll be with you in trouble. If you got any trouble, he's going to be there for you. That's why I said that. He will deliver him. And honor him, verse 16 says, with long life. Everybody say long life.
Long life.
Did he say short life?
No.
Did he say midlife?
No.
No, he said long life will he satisfy. I believe this, and you can believe what you want, that when it's time for you to go, you'll know it. If God tells you, get ready, you're going to go. I believe that you can go and be happy about it because by that time, you're ready. And every time God allowed someone to come to him in heaven, he didn't kill him by murdering him and having a bad accident and dying an excruciating, painful death. No, the Lord, they went off and said goodbye, went to sleep, and went to heaven.
Amen.
And we see that in the Bible. And I was told that you can go through the gates or you can go to jaws of death. You can just go on to the next life and not be sick. And just go on and you get older. I believe all of us should live long and strong.
Amen.
And be healthy and not be afraid that you're going to die in midlife. And as a mother, not be afraid that you might die and you leave your kids. You know, I was in my 30s. And you saw Natasha was the first girl who congratulated Pastor Steve, and they love Steve because she loved Steve because Steve was her only pastor, and that's all she knew is Pastor Steve. And when she was born, I was in my 30s, and I was crying because I said, "Oh man, when she's older, I'll be just 60 years old. I'll probably just be in a wheelchair somewhere." I'll be just old. I won't run and play with them, you know. So, you know, it's a matter of some. I want to tell you, it's a matter. It's your attitude. It's your mindset. How old is old? You know. So everybody has a different measuring stick. Everybody has a different standard, right? So all this depends on where you are. So it says in there, with long life will I satisfy him. So God wants us to be satisfied in life, in living. He wants us to live a long and satisfying life. Do you believe that tonight? So I want to go to another scripture to tell you about that God wants long life. And he wants us to be satisfied. Everybody say, long life.
Long life.
Say, tell him satisfied.
Satisfied.
Over here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, I'm reading the New Living Translation. He says, my child, never forget the things I've taught you. Well, the word taught you is referring to the Bible, God's word or scripture. You know, we have to be reminded of what God taught us and what the word teaches is about life. And that's where we go. Remember, forget not the things that I've taught you. Store my commands in your heart. That's meditating and thinking about those things. If you do this, you'll live many years. And your life will be satisfying. So the Bible tells us that all of us here, everyone without exception, God wants everyone here to live long, and he wants you to be satisfied in life. And you should not have any fear that you'll die. Now, I'm going to mention some things to qualify this, because God wants us all to live long life, but not everybody does, because their mindset. If you have a mind that, well, I don't really care, I'll just live reckless and do whatever I want and drink what I want and eat what I want. Well, you can't eat hamburgers and live a long life. People say, well, watch me. And, well, you have to eat right. You know, like you don't have to go to the Bible to find that. They'll tell you. Medical people will tell you. And they'll say, you know, hey, get a good diet and sleep once in a while. You know, people don't sleep, you know. So I want to just propose this idea to you that if you know God wants you to live long, and if you don't know that, you'll be at a disadvantage when something happens in your life. God wants you to live long. But if you didn't know, and if you weren't taught that, if people didn't teach you that, then you'd be a real disadvantage when you come across something that causes, you know, that's very destructive to your life. Maybe perhaps you're in some kind of peril of some kind of danger, and life, your life is at stake, and you're young. Well, God wants you to live long and strong. So according to Scripture, God wants us all to enjoy long life. And Jesus said something here in John 10 and 10, and I'm going to read it in the classical version because I want to just drive a point here. He says, a thief comes in order to steal. Now, if the devil can rob you of fruitful thinking, if he can rob you of the way he wants you to think, if God wants you to think, if the devil steals from you, he said he comes to steal, to kill and destroy. And Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, enjoy life. Enjoy life. God wants you to enjoy life. Let me just tell you something, just as a side note. If you're not enjoying life, there's something off in your life. There's something not right. Maybe you're in the wrong house. Maybe you're living in the wrong town. Maybe you're going to the wrong church. Maybe you're in the wrong profession. I don't know. I taught at school, at the college for almost 20 years. I taught in careers. I taught about careers. And one of the things they said, anybody that has a career, you'll change at least 3 major times. You'll have many jobs, but 3 major career moves. And they found that people who are not happy, it's because they're in the wrong place. And so we need to, you know, Jesus said, he has come that we might enjoy life. Well, that sounds like, you know, Psalm 91, that I give you a satisfying life. God wants us to be satisfied. You know, I get up every Monday morning. Oh, no, it's Monday morning. No, some of us are happy. It's Monday morning. I get to see my friends again. Huh? I get away from these kids. You know, we say that, you know, we're all happy, you know, sometimes, you know. You see your kid get off to school, and you're happy they're gone for the day. But when they leave for the last time for college, and they're gone, and the house is now dead, nobody's around, just you and the dog. You know, you're going to, one day that'll happen. So, Steve, enjoy your kids for now. Praise God. Amen. So everyone that we know wants to live a long life. They want to live a long, satisfying life. Many don't believe God wants them to have a long life or a satisfying life. And many die early. And because they have no defense against what the devil is doing in his attacks, attacks them in their mind, and they believe that they may die early. So many people die young for many reasons. Probably this is number one, especially for young people, and that is foolishness. People die because they're foolish. They don't have a I don't care attitude. They just live any way they want to live. Well, Proverbs says if you're foolish, you can end your own life. Not that God took you. It's not that the devil was strong enough to take you out. No, you took yourself out. And so there's another thing here is rebellion. We rebel against God. You can see this time and time again. When Israel rebelled against God, many of them died. Because they rebelled against God. And listen to this. They broke laws. You know, if we break laws on the highway, driving, we could die. If it says stop, you stop. If it says there's a sharp curve and it says go 30 and you go 100, what's going to happen? Well, you rebelled against that law. And you break natural laws. You break natural laws like, you know, science tells you different things, or you break natural laws of maybe perhaps your diet. And you get into trouble. How many, you know, you don't have to raise, don't raise your hand, but I'm going to ask you a question. I don't want to embarrass you. But, you know, how many of you have been on a diet every once in a while? Don't raise your hand now. We've all been there, right? I found the best diet is the Holy Ghost diet. I'm going to have one Holy Ghost meal after this time is over here. Holy Ghost pancakes. I can eat as much as I can. It doesn't have any calories. Do you believe that? No. Okay. So many die early. So Ecclesiastes 7:17, we looked at this last time. It says, be not much wicked. We don't want to be wicked, and that could kill you. Need to be foolish. Because that could kill you too. Why should you die before your time? Huh? You know, we don't have to die in the prime of our lives. We can enjoy life. Our kids can enjoy us. Your children need you. Right? They need you to be happy. And they want you alive. Unless you have wicked kids. No, you don't have wicked kids. None of us should have wicked kids. Job 5:26 says this, look at, thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age. Everybody say full age. You know what? God says you can live to be a full age. And if you have any questions about dying, he don't want you to die from heart disease. He doesn't want you to die from diabetes. To suffer long months, losing your limbs, and you can't walk, and you can't get out of bed. God, that's not God's best. He doesn't want you to have that. And part of that deal is not that the devil did it. It's part of the deal that you, the Lord, showed you some truth that you should change some of your diet. And you might have a tendency to go a certain way. So we need to change some things. And I remember the Lord said to me for a number of years, and I never thought because I don't look like I'm overweight, but I look, according to the charts I found, that I'm actually fat. You know, according to the script, according to body mass index, I'm in there. My wife's really had it. No, she's always laughing at her. But we looked at it. My wife and I looked at it. We said, we laughed because we thought, man, this is crazy. And I took this to Pastor Ken. I was so happy because he's more overweight than me. And we went to the office. We talked about it. I said, you know, it says over here that you're pretty big. You know, so we talked about it. And we kind of joke about it, but at the same time, there's some truth in it. And, he's been, so for me, the Lord said to me, for a number of years, he said, you need to cut back on your what you're eating, all the sugar. Well, I didn't think much of it. I'm not necessarily overweight. Never been really over that much overweight. But the Lord kept telling me. So, you know, I changed just a little bit. Every year the doctor would tell me, hey, you're getting up there, you need to change your diet. Change the sugar business. So finally I changed. And I went back the following year and said, oh, yeah, you're good now. So I started eating sugar again. Celebrate. <you know? laughs> So anyway, I did a little bit of changes. I stopped. In fact, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't haven't eaten any chocolate bars. I just have plenty of them in my office. And plenty at home when I'm watching the hockey games. Just have I go to a dollar store and buy a bag of them. Pop, drink pop. You know, just lots of pop. And so I cut that. It's all gone now. I don't eat that stuff anymore. I'm trying not to look at somebody that's larger than me. I can't seem to find one. Just Miss Grace. Miss Grace, you're skinny. So anyway. Yes. No, I mean, you know, this is true. So we all had to change. I didn't think I was had a problem, but I did. Apparently, the Lord told me, you know, God will talk to you. And he's trying to keep you alive. And it's not a matter that you got a horrible disease right now. He's trying to prevent something. And if God quickens you and you override that witness on the inside of you that you need to make the change, you're going to get into trouble. So it says here, thou shalt come to that grave in a full age. Notice this. He compares it, like a shock of corn cometh in a season. So you're going to come to your dying day in a full age in your season. In other words, the season is when you run your course. When you've run your course throughout your life, and you're at the end of your season when you need to have that harvest time. That you should run your course in life and not die till you have your full age and you're satisfied. See, we got to see this in the scripture. We got to see this in the Bible so that we don't walk around afraid every day that you're going to die. And we need to pray protection that angels watch over us wherever we go. And we're not going to break laws and drive down the road like a mad person. You know, Pastor Ken and I, like we said, we drove to Geraldton for 5.5 years every Thursday after work. We drive there and we come back. And then he claimed protection with me. He said, I apply the blood to every moose on the road, every fox. I'm applying the blood to every animal on the street on there that we will have a nice, safe trip. And a lot of times I'm driving, I'd wake up, I see a moose head. His red eyes looking at me. Thank God, you know, we can have protection. Are you still here? Okay, so season means full course. And we saw in Genesis chapter 6, I believe it was in verse 3, that God says a man's days will be up to about 120 years now. Before that, the chapter before that, people were living to be 900, 800 years. But after that time, people started living shorter lives, and they're shorter and shorter and shorter. And most of those guys, like Moses and them, I think Moses died 120 years. He didn't die of sickness and disease. And he had run his course and he was ready to go. Jacob, the Bible says, called up his friends. If you saw in Genesis 39, he called up all his children, all his boys. He prophesied to every one of them. He said, I'm going to go home now. And I want to prophesy over you and tell you what's going to happen to your life. He prophesied over them. The Bible says, by faith, it's a miraculous thing he did. He prophesied over them what's going to happen. And he said he pulled up his feet on the bed and he gave up the ghost and went home. That's how I want to die. How about you? And some nice pillows. And we heard stories of people who went on and passed on in life. They're older and they're in a home somewhere and they say, "Woo! I'm going home today." And all, and the family says, you know, Grandpa's a little senile here. I don't think he's thinking straight. And they went to see him the next day. They said, the Lord showed me I'm going home today. And he's laying there. And he looked up. There's Jesus. Okay, bye. And he's gone. These are true stories from people that we know. And they went home that way. They believed that way. If you don't believe that, then I guess it won't happen to you because you didn't believe it. Let's believe it. Why don't we believe it? Because the Bible tells us what's going to happen. The Bible says faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Amen. So you can see your future by looking at the Bible. Amen. And believe it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, I confess this. David says, it says about David, well, David died in a good old age, full of riches and honor. Amen? And when you die, you're going to have honor. They're going to say nice things about you when you die. Amen? And they're going to, you'll die with honor, you'll die with riches. You'll leave stuff for your children, not like bills and stuff. Right? You know, oh man, Grandpa died. He left us a bunch of bills here. There's a song called Papa Was a Rolling Stone. When he died, he left us alone or something like that. All he did was left us alone. Remember that? How many people remember that song? That's one of my favorite songs. Papa was a rolling stone. All he did was leave us alone when he left. But we don't want to be like Papa. We want to leave something for our children, right? So the Bible says our lives really, you know, when you think about it, our lives are like a vapor of smoke. Over here, it says in James chapter 4:14, he says, how do you know your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like a morning fog is here a little while and it's gone. You know, you're here for a short time. There's another song by Trooper back in the 70s. We're here for a good time, not a long time. How many of you remember that song? Okay, you're still playing it after all these years. After the service is over, you're going to go on one of those apps is for finding, you know, back in those days. So, you know, a lot of us were rockers before. You know, we're just, I mean, I was not much of a rocker. I didn't even AC/DC, all the, I never ever listened to that stuff. But Patsy Cline is another thing. Anyway, you can renew your life, the Bible says. You can renew your strength. If you're feeling weak this morning, you can renew your strength. The Bible says here in Psalm 103, verse 5, he says, he fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. That's wonderful if you just feel just drained. I see people on my Facebook, my friends. I pray once in a while, and not all the time, but once in a while, I pray for all my friends, my Facebook friends. And I'll do it more often. I pray for every one of them in the name of Jesus. A lot of them feel like, I just can't make it. I'm so drained. You know? Well, you know, eat some food first and go to sleep. Maybe I'll feel a little bit better. and stop worrying about everything, right? So we do pray. I mean, I'm going to tell you something. I pray for you every day. Every single day, I pray for the people of this church. If you belong here, if your relatives think this is your church, I say, Father, even if they think this is a church, don't even tell me. I pray for them in the name of Jesus. I claim protection for them. I pray that their every need be met. And I would pray to go to the Bible and read scriptures and pray over you. So you can't die right now. You'll live long and strong, and you'll be working for God. Amen? I pray for all my partners across Canada and pray for them every day. Take them before the throne of God and thank God for the growth and development. Every single day, pray for them in the name of Jesus. And every penny they gave, I pray they multiply their giving in Jesus' name. The devil will not steal from you. You'll not die young. You'll live a full and satisfying life. And if you're stupid, it's up to you. All right? So, but I believe you're smart. Everyone here is smart. As far as I'm concerned, you got up this morning, washed your face. I saw some of you did. Brush your teeth, put on some clothes, and you showed up. So the Lord, the Bible says he renews my strength. We can believe that. That's in the Bible. He renewed. You know, you studied about the eagle. I don't know if you studied very much about it, but he goes way up there. He knocks off his beak. You know? One day I saw, these eagles on the side of the road eating meat, a dead carcass. I was driving to Long Lac. I think they're from Long Lac, these ones. These eagles. And I'm driving down by Beardmore. And my friend Mark Davey, I don't know if you know Mark Davey, but he says, you know, all these eagles, they never eat any carcass. But I saw three eagles with my own eyes eating a carcass with these black birds. I think they like chicken. They were eating there. So I said, that Mark told me they don't eat carcasses. Moose, dead moose, like, you know. But I don't know if they were eating, but they sure looked like they're eating to me. So God wants us to renew our strength today. What would you do if you found out that you had only so much time to live and you're young and maybe you're middle-aged, maybe you're just over middle-aged, you're not 120 and you're not 85, but the doctor says you're about to die. Now let's go over here and let's go see something here, what the Bible says about a man who, God can rescue you out of death. The Bible says over here, Psalm 107, verse 20, he said, reading the New Living, he said, he sent out his word and he healed them, snatching them from the door of death. I've known people who are dying and God grabbed them out of that and brought them back in. Saved them from death. If you don't believe it, go on TikTok. And you see different crazy things on there, but don't watch it too much because that's crazy. 2 Kings chapter 20, verse 1 to 6. Let's go ahead and read this. Should I read it? Let me read this. I'm reading the King James Version. In those days was Hezekiah sick unto death, and the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said to him, thus said the Lord, set thy house in order, thou shalt die and not live. Then he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, I beseech you, Lord, remember now I have walked before thee in truth, with a perfect heart, and have done that which was good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. Well, he's crying because he's dying. He's going to die. Now, in verse 3, he's talking to God and actually bringing his case before God. You know, the Bible says in Isaiah, bring your case before me and plead before me like a lawyer would before a judge on behalf of someone. Bring your case before me and argue your case with me. Why should I let you live? And he did. He said, Lord, remember when I walked with you, I did this and did this. I remember Brother Higgins said one of his highest, best elders was dying, is about to die. And he said he's in the hospital with that guy. And he said he prayed to the Lord. He said, Lord, I'm not going to let him die. I'm not letting him die. He's in the Baptist church. They're both in the Baptist church. He said, I'm not going to let him die. He said, this elder, he is my best helper in church. He brings more people to church, leads people to Jesus Christ. He helps me every week, every day in church. He gives more money than I know about people. I'm not going to lose him. I want him. I need him. If I need him, you need him. And the man died and went to heaven. And he gave his testimony in church the Sunday when he come back. He said he died and he went to heaven. He said he came to heaven and he saw Jesus. He said he's running to Jesus and he was about to fall down before Jesus and worship Jesus. And Jesus said, "You can't come. You can't stay." What? And he pulled back his sheet like a curtain, and he saw Brother Higgin praying. He said he won't let you go. You need to go back. He said, to make it long story short, he came back and gave his testimony at the church. He said, don't you ever feel sorry for a Christian who died because they're having so much fun. They don't want to come back. Now, I'm going to tell you a story because my mother died, and she said, I saw myself there. I died in the hospital. I went up to heaven. My mom told me this. My mom wouldn't lie. No one wouldn't lie. And she went up to heaven. She said, I'm going to heaven. And I hear the heavenly choir in heaven. I saw the choir singing. I heard someone talking to me. He said, you can't come. You need to go back. And he said, I didn't see anybody, but I saw the angelic, heard the singing. He said, I come back down as quick as I can. I came into my body, in my body. He said, I filled up my body. It came right back up again. And she said, I was so disappointed. Come back in my body. I heard a girl here give a testimony. She was walking across the street over here on Memorial Avenue. This First Nations girl. She said, I got hit. I got hit on the road walking across Memorial Avenue. And she said, I died. She says, my spirit went up. I saw myself. I guess she didn't tell me the whole story, but she said, I came back in my body and I lived to tell. I know there's another life. And you know, we live like this. It's going to always be like this forever. It's not going to always be like this forever. You know, we need to serve God and serve out our purpose. And do what God says. Not to scare anybody, but I'd like to serve God. And do what he says, whatever he wants me to do. So he says here, he wept sore. Verse 4, it came to pass, before Isaiah was gone out into the middle of the court, that the word of the Lord came to him, and saying, so he was at the king's house. Verse 5, turn again and tell Hezekiah, the captain of my people, thus said the Lord, the God of thy father David, I have heard thy prayer. You think God hears your prayer when you're going to die? He does. He does. I have seen thy tears. Behold, I'll heal thee. On the third day, thou shalt go up to the house of the Lord. Verse 6 says, I'll add, everybody say add. I'll add to thy days 15 years. You can renew your strength, and God will add on your days. You know, I want to tell you something right now. Some of you might be a little bit older than I am. You go ahead and add on. Hallelujah. Amen? You have precedent. It's right here. Precedent means it's a beginning. You have a standard. You have a foundation to stand on, and believe that. Thank God. You can pray for your relative. If they want to live, you can pray for them, and they'll live and not die. Is that happy words or what? Isaiah 38, 1 to 5. Let's go ahead and read it in the New Living Translation. This is funnier, quicker version because it's New Living. A lot of you will be happy. Same story. About that time, Hezekiah became deathly ill. The prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, went to visit him. He gave the king this message. This is what the Lord says. Set your affairs in order, for you are going to die. You will never recover from this illness. Well, that's a verdict you don't want to hear. What if I went to your bedside and you're down, you're sick in the hospital with something, you want me to pray for you, but I said to you, the Lord told me that you're going to die. Huh? Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Pastor. I didn't want you to come here. That's exactly what some people say. That's what some people, you know, you don't want them to pray because they come to your bedside and says, Lord, heal them. If it's not your will, let them die. No, you want somebody who can believe, right? You want someone who can believe the Bible. So, you know, this is the scripture here. This prophet, he's talking here to the king, you know, and the king is important. The prophet's important. And when Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall. You know what? In times like that, you got nowhere else to turn, but you turn to God. There are some things in people's life right now, nothing else, no institution's going to help you, no medical institution's going to help you. You ran out of institutions. You don't have any financial institution. You have no agency, organization going to help you. But God alone can help you. Amen? He's there all the time. He's going to help you. It says over here, when Hezekiah heard this, he turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. Thank God for prayer. Prayer is power in prayer. Remember, O Lord, he's talking to the Lord, and he's speaking to God. He says, I've always been faithful to you. And I've served you single-minded, always doing what pleases you. Then he broke down and wept bitterly. Then the message came to Isaiah from the Lord. He says, go back to Hezekiah, tell him, this is what the Lord, the God of your ancestor David says, I've heard your prayer, I've seen your tears, I will add 15 years to your life. The Bible says, everyone died in a full age. Jesus healed the young in the middle age, and not very often you see them healing very, very old people in the Bible, in the Old Testament, in the New Testament, Gospels. He always healed young people, raised young people from the dead, middle-aged people. God did not want you to die young. He doesn't want you to die young. But if you're 85 years old, the Bible says that God at least, minimum, wants you to live 70, 80 years as a minimum. Statistically speaking, you can look at stats. People die around that age. Huh? Like, why work all your life and then you're 75 and then you never collect your pension and you died? Huh? Somebody else will take it. So you might as well live longer. You can enjoy your pension. At least 120, at least 95, right? So at least, yeah. So your season in life is your, when you pass a certain time in your old age, like Jacob, he said, I'm going to go home. Here's something here I want you to see here. I know it's getting late, but I think you could stand it. You don't look like you're dying yet. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 10. I'm going to read in the Good News Bible because I feel this is good news. This is going to help you. This will help you. Okay? So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 9. Let's see. Paul said, I want to remind you, friends, of the trouble we had in the province of Asia. Everybody said trouble. The burdens laid upon us were so great. Everybody said burdens. He says here, and so heavy that we gave up all hope of staying alive. So some people, like we talked about last time, they want to die, you know, they lost their spouse who left them, and oh, I want to die. They lost their money, they lost their career, oh, I want to die. No, when you get that all back, you don't want to die. He says that you feel like that right now. So we felt the sentence of death had pass upon us, but this happens so that we should not rely on ourselves, but only on God, who raises the dead. For such terrible dangers of death, he saved us and will save us. We have placed our hope in him that he will save us again. You know, if God did it once, he'll do it again. Because people think, oh, he done it one time, the devil come to you and says, you know, hey, he saved you one time, but this time he's not going to do it. No, he's going to do it again. I said, he's going to do it again. Psalm 34:19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivered them again from them all, right? So many, many are the afflictions, so he's going to save you again and again and again. You got to believe that, right? So it's not just one time God says, listen, Three times already you came to me with that? Same trouble? This time, that's it. No, he doesn't do that. Faith will always get you the help that you need. So, if you only knew that God wanted you to live long, you would live long. I end with the story of Caleb. You remember Caleb in Joshua? You know, he's an old man now. He's talking to Joshua. They went over to the other side. And he says to Joshua, I was 45 years old when Moses sent us over to spy out the land. I'm 85 years old right now. I'm just as strong as I was when I was 45 years old as I am now to fight and go to war. I'm strong. And he said he kept me alive. God kept me alive. Thank you, Jesus. Amen? I mean, God wants you to live long and strong. And you can renew your strength. He's a good God. And listen, let's believe together for one another. Let's believe together that we can live long and strong. Fill out our time here in heaven. Not be afraid to die middle age. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and stand up.